Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the dawn of America
of America Audio with your host, Tim Banal.
No commercials, no subscriptions, no network, no rules, and at the end of the day, my friends, no comparison, and really, I have no idea what we're doing tonight. It's been chaos already. This is what happens when you don't do a live show in two months. It's time for the Year in Review special. Greg Bishop, are you with us? I'm paranoid because this Radio Shack phone I've been using for years may finally have died on me.
Yeah, it looks like it came back to life. I guess I better stop washing dishes now. I was doing that until we actually came on.
No, this is a dishwashing episode for sure. And as a matter of fact, any listeners right now who have nothing to do or just listening, go and wash your dishes. We'll make it like a communal thing.
I got one more to do. I got this pan to do. Listen, you probably can't hear it.
I hear some scraping. Anyway,
okay.
I feel like people joined in on a call that was in session. So, that, ladies and gentlemen, of course, this is Banal of America Audio, BOA Audio, Season 9. And it's our annual Year in Review show with our real good buddy, a mentor, friend, all that good stuff. As I say about Stan Friedman, it's also true of him. He's part of the fabric of Banal of America. I wouldn't know what I'd do without him. He's my dear friend. And it's an annual tradition here where we close the book on 1 year and look at the next. And, of course, he is the host of the outstanding podcast Radio Misterioso and the author of Project Beta, as well as possibly some new stuff coming up. We'll maybe find out about that in a little bit. Talking about
I'll talk about it.
There you go. Talking about
the first time ever.
Talking about, of course, Greg Bishop. Welcome back to the show, dude.
Thanks, Tim. Sorry, I stepped on you there. I shouldn't do that. You were doing a very nice intro.
Yeah. You left a turd in the punch bowl on that one, buddy. But it's all right. So congratulations on the new year. Welcome to 2016. How's the new year been for you so far? It's been 8 days, 7 days, something like that.
Yeah, we're a week into the new year. It's pretty good, actually. I mean, I've still got this thing where I haven't been at a regular job in almost a year, and every few days I'll stop what I'm doing and go, I don't have to be anywhere for, I'm kind of poor, but I don't have to be anywhere for anybody, and I get this huge rush of happiness. I mean, I got to hustle for myself, but I don't have to show up somewhere with somebody tapping their foot if I'm, 30 seconds late, and that I can't tell you how good that feels.
It's pretty nice. I'm in a not the exact same situation, but I have a certain amount of freedom that I do enjoy. So yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's nice.
Yeah. So that's how it's been, and this year is Paramania is coming up. I'm gonna go to the for the first time in years. I was gonna go to the International UFO Congress just to see Jacques Vallée, basically. And then in April or May, I think May, I'm speaking at the New Mexico UFO conference meeting thing.
Right.
That they have every month there. Yeah, so it's already shaping up to be an active year, and I'm finishing off editing a book and a lot of stuff. We'll talk about it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, you did the catch up already. I like it. So where to begin, dude? It's 2016. We were saying goodbye to 2015. I guess if I noticed one thing over and over, when it came up, I don't know if it's just my toilet humor or what, but when I was trying to put together the graphic for the show, and I was trying to find sort of the most ridiculous things to put to put around your picture,
including my face. Yeah.
No. You're the center. It revolves around you. It's like you're bemused looking at this. Like, these are the things from the year. That's kind of the idea. And I just noticed that it was like, I guess it felt like a lot of sameness. I felt like a lot of, I mean, there were some things that came up that were quite interesting and new and different in a sense, a bad way, I think we'll talk about in a little bit, but
yeah.
It was like a sameness. And I don't even just mean the paranormal. I just mean sort of like the world in general, this shared reality. It was like, you know, Bill Cosby's still a weirdo asshole. You know, Vladimir Putin's still insane. You know, like, it's just kind of like all the normal freaks were pretty much just, they amped it up this year, but didn't really.
Well, there were more shootings, there were more apparently terrorist attacks, or the media chose to cover them more than they used to in the past. I do not know which.
I'm not sure. I don't know what to make of it. That's what I was talking about. Yeah, with the bad things that have come up. It seemed like that when I looked back on the year, I sent you a couple of links. One that was just sort of the world news.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, I was stunned by how many of those things were these crazy shootings and stuff like that. So it was like, this is crazy. You know,
yeah, there's apparently, you know, one a day where the, you know, more than a couple people, more than one person got shot. I don't know what they call a mass shooting, two or three or
I think
whatever.
But honestly, I think it's three, but who's.
Yeah,
you know.
Really? Okay. So that happened every day. I don't know, you know, what they throw into that category. And that's not to make a political statement, but I don't know what they throw into that category. But I think it's a combination of, you know, coverage and the quickening, as Art Bell used to call it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the snowball effect, definitely in a sense, because it's like, well, it goes to like what Lauren Coleman talks about in his book Copycat Effect, where it's like, the more of these unstable people see this shit on the news, then they get, you know. They get all titillated,
yep.
And they want to get out there and do stupid shit like this. And next thing you know, it's just happening like once a month. But I don't. Well, let's get into that later, because let's talk about the paranormal. Because you know how these people are. You know how these listeners are. They're going to say, "Why are you with the shooting at the beginning?" I don't.
You all have that same voice, but it's always perfect.
It's supposed to be year in review. I listen. You know, every year it's someone. We offend somebody on the show. One year it was the believers, one year it was the skeptics. So, you know, we don't want...
Oh,
we don't,
perfect.
Yes. So,
I
guess...
I didn't know that it happened. That makes me very happy.
There's only one story worth even talking about in the paranormal, in a sense, of course. And that was the one that, like, everybody was going crazy about, which is the Roswell slides, because it was the only story that sort of, like, became a... took on a life of its own, let's say. I can't think of too many other stories that did that.
No, and the funny thing was had nothing to do with Roswell. The people that were promoting them pushed that idea because they were apparently from the same time period in the late 40s. At least those pictures are supposedly taken in the late 40s. What was it by a everybody's going, I already know this. A man and his wife who knew a bunch of important people in the government. There was a picture of a bunch of their vacation pictures, and then right in the middle of this, there's like pictures of some weird-looking, mummified-looking thing on a table that looked like, you know, an alien or a mummy or a kid or something. And it turns out that only two of those things were true. And I kind of think that maybe that was the low point, the nadir, whatever you call it, of UFO study, and I hope that a lot of people that were fence-sitting on exactly what they would allow in is actual information that was good and stuff that's completely junk and shouldn't even be listened to for more than a second. I think that was the tipping point for a lot of people, at least thoughtful people that really try to look at the evidence and make up their mind, or not make up their mind, which might be even better. But yeah, I think that was kind of dividing line. People are going to believe, are going to continue to believe no matter what. It's like, oh, well, it was just a little mistake. No, it wasn't a little mistake. It was something that was, symptomatic of a lot of the dumb parts of UFO study and society and everything. and media and coverage and how people twist things to make it look like they want it to look before they present it to people, and how people delude themselves and all that. Mm. But I think what it did was show people that, like I said, that are thinking about the subject seriously, that maybe there's a lot of stuff they don't really have to pay attention to if they're truly looking for answers. I don't really know if there's any answers in the field, but in a serious way, trying to get to the bottom of the
right.
The enigma, I think. I mean, the other small thing was that Puerto Rico UFO from the, what was it, Homeland Security thermal imaging camera from that plane that took off from Puerto Rico.
I don't know if I saw that.
Oh, yeah, it was, I can't remember what you see. Now you got me on the spot because I can't remember when it happened. I think maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, but then somebody recently, some insider.
Oh, got some shit. Okay, I see, yeah.
Yeah, sent this to some researchers. I can't remember who the researchers were. It's very easily looked up. Just look up Puerto Rico UFO plane footage. They leaked this to these researchers. The researchers kept a tight lid on it, didn't give it out any publicity. Really good, good method, too. I applaud them for this.
Who were the researchers, do we know?
Yes, we do know. Their names came out. At first, they didn't have their names out, and then after they released their report, they slowly put their names out there so people could talk to them.
But they're so the way you're saying that means that it's not someone I like, no, you know what I'm saying? It's not like MUFON
of them were members of MUFON, but they formed their own group to study this footage.
TUFON.
Great. Yeah. Huh?
I said TUFON. It's like a sequel.
Yeah, exactly. They formed their own group to study this thing as they thought analytically and scientifically as possible. Their conclusion that it was an unknown. You look at the footage, and at first it looks kind of compelling. Then if you the way I looked at it, I'll tell you. The way I looked at it is I looked at the footage, and the first thing I thought of was, this is something that's floating through the air on the wind, and the plane is circling around it, making it look like it's moving faster in a different direction than it actually is. Your eye is fooled into thinking that it's doing something that it isn't. It's just floating over the land. However, they figured out it was like changing speeds and going faster, and apparently went underwater for a while.
Weird.
They're right near the coast. And I was satisfied, actually, later when some of the same people that were in the Roswell Slides group started saying that they had noticed some of these things too, like I was saying, plus, a lot deeper analysis.
Interesting.
And that they had some doubts about it, serious doubts. So I'm still up in the air. I'm probably, 90% on the side that it was some kind of, it was a little like mirrored balloon or something, like a party balloon, and they just happened to get this footage of it and flying around it. Because I've been flying for a few years. I've flown around balloons and things that are in the sky. They look like they're moving a lot different ways than you think they are.
Mm.
Because of the relative, the angle you're looking at and your relative speed, your direction is compared to its relative speed and direction, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so it's...
Okay, Puerto Rican UFO video.
Yeah. So, that group is still convinced that it's an unknown, and there's a few people that are fairly convinced that it's a mundane object, and I tend to believe with the mundane object people. But I like this debate. I mean, after all this and all my babbling just now, I like the debate about it. And I like that, that apparently the people who bring out the information don't seem to be horribly threatened with people saying, well, you missed this and this and this and this, and answering those questions.
Hmm. Well, we need more of that, that's for sure. Interesting. Okay. Well, you scooped me on this, because I had no idea. I had no inclination of any Puerto Rican UFO video. So.
Yeah, they released that, I think, sometime in a couple of months after the Roswell Slides thing happened. So I guess sometime in the summer.
You're
they
way
released
more
that
checked
report
in than
it.
I am. All right.
Well, it's just, I don't know. On that stuff, yeah. On that particular story, because I took a slight interest in it for a while. Because it involved an aircraft and an aircraft videotaping something and me looking at it and saying, that looks familiar to me, because that's what stuff looks like when you're flying in circles around it. Yeah.
Well, interesting. Yeah. I don't have much to say. I feel like we've talked about the Roswell slides on your show maybe last time I was on it or on a previous.
Yeah, probably.
I feel like we've already done the Roswell slides. There's not much more to say about it. Yeah. You know, just turned into a big.
It makes people more careful, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And everybody's been condemned and, you know, and people that took things too didn't take things skeptically enough.
But I do think, just based on what
the promoters
you're saying, I don't think it was like you're not saying this actually. You were saying you were sort of speaking as people in ufology, but it's like no fucking way that was a mistake. You know, clearly that was orchestrated at some level to be a hoax. You know what I'm saying? There's no way you don't make a mistake like that that gets disproven in 2 days.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know.
You know why? Because I think that people can convince themselves of anything. And if it involves their egos and all kinds of other things, and maybe.
Well, then I guess the mistake is that not, like, I guess you're right in a sense. Like, if I was outside and I took a picture of a cloud and then I ran around for, like, 9 months and I was like, I have the mothership photo, yada, yada, and then I released it, and then everyone was like, no, dude, I ran it, you know, whatever. It's not. It's actually that kind of cloud that looks like a UFO, you know that one? Lenticular, I think it is.
Yes.
You know,
well, the point is, they didn't release any of this stuff. They kept it very close.
That's what I mean. So maybe that was the mistake. I guess if there was a mistake, which I'm still skeptical of, I think that there was some chicanery involved. I think if there was a mistake, then the mistake was sitting on the shit and not letting anyone else see it, so it could be actually analyzed before you have a grand unveiling.
Yes, it was done. The timing and everything was very bad. If there is any actual fraud going on, if people want to use that word, I think it lies with the people that wanted to make money and promote it as a financial thing, and not with the people that, like researchers, I guess, like Schmidt and Don Schmidt, and I can't remember who else was in there. Mossan, obviously.
Yeah.
I think he had more of a financial stake in it, but the people involved as researchers, who was the other guy that just jumped ship immediately?
I have no idea.
I can't remember his name because I can't remember any of these people anymore.
I've tried to forget about all these people.
Yeah. Anyway, the thing, you know, the upshot is I really hesitate to call fraud on it, but I do, my take is that it was so important to so many people that it'd be really exciting and a scoop and all that, that they kind of lost their senses about, why don't we actually look at this stuff really closely and make sure that it's legit before we throw it out there? I think they purposely ignored stuff. I mean, obviously, because you can't purposely ignore that little sign.
Mm.
That said, you know, body of mummified 8-year-old child.
Yeah. That's what makes it so great, that there was a little sign, like, right in front, where it's like, what are you...
Yeah, well, they said it was blurred, and they couldn't read it, and they had the Pentagon look at it, and all this crap. But, yeah, obviously they didn't. Or if they did, they ignored things because it didn't fit in with their idea of what it was supposed to be. And that's what I think went on, and I think it was a great lesson. I mean, and taught people to be careful about what they let in as evidence. And maybe, if we're really lucky, it taught people to think, maybe an easy solution is not the solution. It can't be as easy as all that. You have to do actual, real, very specific work and be prepared to have it not pan out, you know, which I think a lot of UFO researchers, they get reports of, like, after a while, if they're good ones, they'll just say, that's a planet Venus. That's a plane.
Yeah.
In 99% of the cases. So but I think it was more of a lesson for the people that are interested in the subject rather than the people that actually do the research, at least publicly. I mean, there's probably a lot of private researchers going, oh, geez, I hope I never pull anything like that. But it makes them more careful, too, I hope.
Let's hope so. But, yeah, well, you never – I guess it was percolating the year before it happened, right? Yeah. So it wasn't we kind of all knew this was going to be like a big story this year. So
yeah, there was it had been some year. Information had been released. Kevin Randall wrote about it a little bit, and then I think he jumped ship a few months before the reveal or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it wasn't like it was a big secret in the UFO community. A lot of people knew about it because they kept teasing on it. They wouldn't say what it was.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Or tell people exactly where it came from or anything like that. I think they did tell them it was pictures or slides, but they didn't say of what, they didn't say where they came from. All that stuff came out around the time they charged all those people to see the slides in Mexico City.
Well, I did want to mention, I don't know if I said this on your show or not, but I'm pretty sure I did, but I want to hear on the record for the Year in Review show. There's nothing that bothers me more about the Roswell slides than the fact that it's just one picture. And it shouldn't be called the Roswell Slides. And it's going to always be called the Roswell Slides because that's what everyone called it all this time leading up to the picture.
Well, I said that apparently there were two slides. It's just that the other one really didn't have that much other information. It was just a slightly different angle on the same stupid little poor Indian boy mummy, which, you know, is very quickly people found out that it was... It was a mummy that was in the Mesa Verde Museum in Colorado. It was found in a cliff dwelling. It had been taken away by an amateur archaeologist whose name was on the thing. It said, you know, given by, I can't remember the guy's name, but they had his name on the actual placard if you looked, deblurred it very quickly, and it was easy to find the record of it. I mean, it was figured out, I think, basically in a day or two. And since I was sort of in that group, but I thought that the slides were a complete waste of time, so I didn't really pay much attention to it until suddenly a bunch of people in the group started saying, I think we solved it, and I thought, solved what? And I started looking at what they'd done, and that was on a Thursday, I think. And on Friday, or on a Wednesday, I think, and on Thursday and Friday, it really blew up, and then on Sunday, I had them on my show. Actually, I think my show was the first to have the Roswell Slides research group people on explaining what had happened.
Mm.
And we talked, because I vowed I wouldn't have anything to do with it until I found out that it probably was something that was important for people that are interested in the field, like I said earlier.
Yeah, well, it was the biggest story of the year, that's for sure. There wasn't much, I feel like we've talked already too much about it, because there's not much more to it. I don't think we'll hear more about it. It'll just go be like the, the autopsy movie. It's going to be like the autopsy movie all over again. So,
yeah, I guess so. I think that had a little bit more staying power because people couldn't quite place what was going on with it. But actually, it was pretty easy to tell that was a bunch of hooey, too, because remember the second part of it where they were, this was a different part of the film, but supposedly the same, you know, from the same source and the different part of the film was looking at... what was it? Artifacts like I-beams and stuff, and the beams they're holding up look like giant. Like, I mean, they were huge. They were way bigger than anybody ever described them. So it was pretty easy to tell fairly quickly that was fake. I was at a MUFON meeting when the autopsy film came out.
Oh, really?
I was standing next to Roswell writer and producer Paul Davis.
Oh, nice.
I was watching this film, and I said, "Hey, Paul." I said, you notice all the scratches and dirt and stuff on the film? I said, yeah. And he said, that's added. That's digitally added. I can tell that. And he said, yeah, you're right. Holy crap. Because I've worked in post-production. You can tell when stuff is added that's not actually in the film.
Mm.
Because that was my job to, you know, figure those things out. So I knew right away that it was fake. That it was an old film. It was a new film that was made to look old by adding digital film artifacts. Or digitally adding in film artifacts to make it look old.
All right. No one's going to write to you to complain about that.
No, of course not.
It'll be something
Nobody writes
else.
Me to complain to me about anything, It'll except not posting my show.
What other big paranormal stories caught your attention this year? I didn't really see much that really... Like I said, it was kind of more of the same. I mean, Bigfoot's still really popular. The ghost thing still... Oh, you know what? You know what actually was a pretty big story that... kind of bears mentioning is is the Exorcism Live TV special, which I did not watch, but it was like a big, big story for a few weeks leading into it and everything. They did a great job of building that up into something.
Yes, I heard that. I heard the big build-up, and I didn't watch it because I didn't care. And then I heard it was a huge, big, stupid letdown. What a surprise.
Yeah, what do you expect? I mean, geez. But do you know something? This is, I'll break some news in a sense here. You know, I haven't really seen this anywhere too many other places. But apparently the Exorcism Live special was so popular that the channel that it's on, Destination America, is rebranding, because they already have a bunch of shows that are like Bigfoot, Redneck Bigfoot Hunter, and like weird, like, like they already have like a small slate of paranormal shows. But apparently the success of Exorcism Live has led them to decide to rebrand as a paranormal cable channel.
Yeah, well, you know, they'll last until they ride that wave of popularity until people get sick of it again.
Yeah.
I cannot wait till people are sick of the paranormal again, because then it'll be left alone and work can be done instead of pandering to media.
Dude, I think that you're going to be waiting a while. I think that the paranormal's on the comic book track.
Upswing again?
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being sort of like chic in a way. Like that nerd chic, you know? They've already exploited the nerdiness. They've already exploited sort of like geekdom. So all that's left is like shit like the paranormal. I think a paranormal cable... I'm surprised it's taken so long for there to be a paranormal cable.
Yeah, me too, actually.
It could be really successful.
But there's truth to what you say, because I've noticed like certain hipsters on Facebook that I know are now posting things about, have you heard about this strange thing out in the desert called the Integratron? It's like...
Oh, God.
Yeah, I started going there in 1988.
Fucking
and other
hipsters.
People have been going there since the 60s, but yeah, stuff like that. And you know, they're starting to post things about Unarius and like, what the? So yeah, I think there's something to what you said. It's going to be like nerd cool.
Yeah, so I think that's going to happen in the not.
Ironic nerd cool though, because you can't be into something, you know. Well, that's hipster, but yeah, you know, half the audience is going to be really into it because they think it's something important and true and important, and the other half of the audience is going to be into it because they're laughing at them.
Fine, in a sense. I mean, like, well, look at it this way, dude. Like, somebody, I know it's, like, much bigger and shit, but, like, somebody could be, like, the people who were all into Star Wars leading into it were, like, obnoxiously into it and everything, and it was like, celebrated in a way. You know what I mean? It was, like, so... If you can get at least some portion of the, if you can get it where it's like you're not going to be laughed at for being into this, you know, it'll be sort of like, oh, all right, you're into that, that's cool, then that would be a good thing for the paranormal.
Yeah, I guess so, but I don't think it's going to solve anything, because I think the best work on anything in the paranormal is done by people that you don't even hear about until it finishes what they're doing.
Mm. Oh, I agree with that, but, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships, so.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. You know what? If some money or effort or whatever can be thrown at, you know, 800 crappy things and 3 or 4 really good things, then you know it's better than none. So, it raises the awareness. So maybe you get a few people that are off the grid that get interested and start looking into it. Because I think the independent off the grid, you know, I'll say this again. I think the independent off the grid outlier. What's the word? Just people that aren't that are looking at it from a different angle and don't really care about the publicity. I think that's where the really good answers come from, and not maybe answers, but really good directions towards some sort of answer, understanding, or handle.
New questions. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's yeah. Well, what you're yeah, exactly. I know what you're saying. It's like an outsider might. They're not, and this is a sort of loaded word, but it's like they're not indoctrinated to what UFOs are and what ufology is. So they may, like, look at it from a different way, and they'll be like,
yeah.
Oh, you know. So
I'm trying my best to, like, you know, as I
keep being interested in this, not to track myself into what people are looking at or expect to see or whatever. I'm trying to eliminate the words alien and UFO from my vocabulary as much as possible, because that makes my mind subconsciously or not turn towards those explanations. Now, whether they're true or not, you know, it's much more interesting to me to look at other stuff, or, you know, free your mind to look at something that makes no sense whatsoever, you know, at least in a logical way. I think that'd be great. I mean, so I bet it's going to be, you know, somebody's making a discovery that, and they probably have, that it's so off the grid and so ridiculous that nobody listens to them, but it has a really good handle on solving it or understanding it. I these are just, you know, gut feelings I've developed over the last, you know, whatever, how many years.
You think like this year or just at some point?
At some point, it could be this year. You know what's really hopeful? I've heard people like, you know, on Coast to Coast and other places and other shows say, oh, I think there's a difference in UFO study now. And there's younger people coming in and they have different ideas and they're looking at the subject afresh and they're looking at, you know, psychology and folklore and all this other stuff in a serious way, when only a few people like Valet and Keel and Greg Little and people like that have been doing it in the past. Dennis Stillings used to do this with Archaeus Project. And that gives me hope. That really gives me a lot of hope. So I don't know about this year, but I think there's going to be progress on it this year, definitely.
Let's hope so. You know.
I told you I had some hopeful stuff to say.
Yeah. Well, I felt like...
Get back to bitching if you want.
What's that?
We can get back to bitching if you want.
I'm sure we'll do that.
Well, it's fun.
As far as, like I said, Bigfoot seemed to get bigger. I don't think there was a big Bigfoot story that really got me excited. It was a lot of Bigfoot videos. I know that was Lauren's top for the year for cryptozoology. Definitely agree with that. It was like, videos are becoming more and more. It's like, it sounds cliche in a way. It sounds like I'm out of touch. But I feel like it's still getting bigger, videos. You know what I'm saying? It's like, videos have been big for a while, but they're getting more bigger now. People, you know, it's like these...
Yeah, more people have ways to capture video. I mean, I started flying a drone recently, and somebody said, hey, what? I bet somebody's going to catch video off of a video of a Bigfoot off of a drone camera at some point. I said, yeah, I bet that'll happen this year.
Yeah, I read that, in an article today about scientific advances that might happen in 2016. And that was, like, the last on the list. But, yeah, as I said, possible Bigfoot evidence through a drone. It makes sense. Well, part of the thing too is not only that more people can take videos, but it's like more people can watch videos. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's people on their phones. It's like these little videos, these like 2-minute videos are, it's scary in a way, but it's like our culture is turning towards these like bite-sized little videos and shit. And you can see it just in the way everything's going, you know, this whole viral video idea. I know, obviously, I feel like I'm an old man here, but I get the sense that it's like bigger than even it's ever been before and only going to get bigger, the whole idea of these little videos.
Yes. Well, that's the way that the media is set up. You can't really be interested in something for more than, you know, a Vine, which is 6 seconds, I guess, or, you know, a full-length YouTube video, which is, I think you go over 3 minutes, nobody watches it. And the fact that, you know, I don't know how much the percentage of people that consume media, that some huge percentage of it in the last few years has switched over to phones and tablets.
It's crazy.
So they're watching it on these tiny screens. So no wonder, you know, you can't sit there and watch a 2-hour movie on a phone. Well, I guess you could.
Some young lunatics do.
Yeah, I know. I would too if I was that age, but
that's true. That's I would
too. Yeah. You know, I did dumb things. I used to, when I was in high school, I used to take a cassette recorder and hook headphones into it. Everybody thought I was nuts, and then like 10 years later or 5 years later or whatever, they were walking.
Well, there you go. See that?
So I, you know, kids do weird ass things that actually make sense to them, and watching a whole movie on a 4-inch screen makes sense to a lot of people. But to most people, you know, doing things and consuming what they consume, I think, you know, 6 seconds to 3 minutes is about the limit, which I think is crazy, But also, you know, I can see why. And then also it's like, okay, if I'm going to do videos or I'm going to do whatever, yeah, I'll keep it between, you know, a few seconds and 3 minutes. It's fine by me as long as people pay attention
exactly.
and the point gets across. Do I have to tell people, you know, if I want to make a little film about what I think UFO things are, I'm going to keep it to 3 minutes probably. You know?
Yeah. I feel compelled to read this. Because Stephanie, like, sends a message to you in the chat, even though you're not in the chat. And I feel like I can either make fun of her, which I'm doing kind of now, or I could just ignore the message, which would just disappear. But she says she just got buzzed by a small plane coming in to land at Buchanan Airport in Concord, California. It reminds her of the sirens on Radio Mysterioso, shook the windows in their frames. So... Yeah.
Oh wow! Well, see that person might—they should be flying in that low. There's noise abatement. They could get in trouble for that. She should call and complain to the airport.
There you go, Stephanie. Call and complain. Don't tell us in the chat room. Tell the authorities.
No, I like hearing that story.
What else? Yeah, the Bigfoot videos—that was kind of the big thing. But it's kind of sad in a way. I was hopeful for Bigfoot the last couple of years because it seemed like scientists were getting on board, but this year it seemed like there wasn't. And I guess the Bigfoot portal story that I had on my show was kind of a relatively big story, but I was sort of in the middle of it, so I didn't really feel like it was, but a lot of people were talking about it.
Okay, for people that don't listen to your show as much, what is the short
story? Oh, I've told this story a million times, but I will again. Is it... Adam Davies, who's been on the show a million times, he went out on a Bigfoot hunt and saw a portal of some kind. And little people came out. And apparently...
How did he know it was a portal? Oh, little people came out.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, it just would be a thing of light, I guess. So then, you know, he didn't tell anybody for a year or so, and the guy who he was with broke the story and... against his wishes, I guess. I don't know exactly how it went down, but he wasn't too, you know, he kind of wanted to keep it quiet until he figured out what it was, which would have been forever, but I guess, or at least look into it more. And it didn't really pan out that way. So then he came on the show with John Carlson, told the story. A bunch of people went kind of crazy about whether it was, you know, whether it was true, whether it wasn't true. I don't know what to make of it. It's a weird story, so...
Yeah, it's one of those, well, whatever. If you're a believer, you believed it happened. If you're not, you'll think it's a big lie. So
right,
whatever.
Right. And even though I endorse the paranormal Bigfoot idea to a point, I feel like the whole thing is sort of indicative of a larger issue in the Bigfoot field, and that is like that the divide is growing between the two sides, in a sense.
Oh, is it really?
I think so. I think there's like people that are like... into this Bigfoot is paranormal, and this whole idea of like people communing with Bigfoot, you know, people who say like I live in the Bigfoot's in my woods and he comes out and he's been doing it for like 20 years. It drives me up the wall because it's like, what good are you to me? You're annoying me like with your crazy stories and shit, you know. So yeah, that's the basics of the Bigfoot portal story.
I think it was a Grimerica show recently.
Probably
Redfield
covering the Bigfoot portal, yeah.
Yeah, well, the Redfield told me about it, and one of the callers called in, and they said, you know, they had this challenge, yes or no answers. And one of them was, shoot Bigfoot or not shoot Bigfoot? I thought that was a great question, because it calls it, you know, you had to say yes or no, but, you know, of course the... people who don't want to harm animals or intelligent beings or emotion, whatever, say no, of course not. And then other people's like, well, how else are we going to conclusively prove this? And my thing was, yeah, go ahead and shoot Bigfoot, because as soon as you aim the gun at him, he'll disappear.
Yeah, yeah, plenty of people have shot Bigfoot before.
That's my idea, so I guess I come squarely down on the paranormal. I mean, you'll shoot him, and maybe you see him go down, and you run over there, and he won't be there.
Exactly. Something very weird about the Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Very weird.
It's like UFOs. It's like not designed for the way that we gather evidence right now. It doesn't conform to that. Mm. And it until we change the way we gather evidence or what we consider evidence or how we think about things, or there's a discovery made in physics or something like that, I think it's gonna stay that
way. Yeah. I think if anything, I'm hopeful that maybe the Bigfoot will turn out to be like a missing link, but not like the classic missing link idea of like a human missing link, but like a missing link between like the physical and the paranormal, where it's like some animal that can, some creature that like somehow has ability.
Yeah, like
that,
a bird can fly in the air, that this thing can move through time like it's not that big of a deal.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's like they you know, they find animals doing crazy shit all the time. So this will be an animal that does something that we've never seen, you know, beyond our wildest imagination. And then it's like, okay, how does this animal make itself invisible? Like, what we need to get into its brain, but we can't because it gets invisible and runs, you know. So,
or whatever. I don't know from our point of view what that, you know, we can only talk about it in concepts that we know about.
Right, exactly.
It may involve a concept that we have no idea what the mechanism is. I have a question for you about, have you ever talked to a Bigfoot researcher and they've told you why they think that Bigfoot is a physical animal, I mean, and can be caught? Do you know what that argument might be?
I think the only argument I've heard is to sort of like is to argue against the paranormal part, where it's like you can't answer an unknown with an unknown.
Yeah, well, that's true, but
I guess the idea is you can, but you're not going to get anywhere doing that. So it's focusing on the physical part.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, this isn't an old idea, but I always wonder, why has nobody ever found anything? Nobody's found a dead one. Nobody's found a buried one. Nobody's found body parts. Nothing that I know of.
Right. You'd even think that there would be like some kind of like, well, you know, I was going to say something in the fossil record, but there's always these stories about people finding giants and the fucking government takes them away and shit. I don't know what to make of all that stuff.
I don't know either, but... Well, I've got this idea that a lot of people have, that there's a huge part of history that is before recorded history where there was some sort of worldwide civilization. I'm heavily suspicious that there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. It's kind of like the Martian apocalypse thing where, you know, whatever, a billion years ago there was a civilization on Mars, and since it's a billion years ago, all you have is, like, you know, whatever people see in the things on from the rovers or whatever. Who knows?
Right.
But, yeah, that's an old idea, that there was a completely different intelligent race of human-type people before recorded history, and it got all wiped out and started all over again. Whatever.
You just gave me an idea, so I should say it before I forget it.
Yes.
So someone can steal it. But I have the feeling that I'll make a sort of like ridiculous sort of, I don't want to call it a prediction, but sort of like an observation. I think that like this whole thing where people are seeing, and I'm not necessarily saying they're all wrong, but this whole thing where people are seeing things in the Martian photographs, is the new 2012.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. See, I'm talking about this stuff academically. I don't know if stuff that's been seen in the Martian photographs that points to some sort of civilization. I have no idea. I tend to think not, but I'm just using it as an example. You know, something is that old, and you think over a course of a billion years or a few million years, it can be almost completely wiped out. I mean, they found those pyramids, one of those huge ones out in Eastern Europe or wherever it is, that are bigger than anybody's ever seen.
Yeah,
there are
those
blocks
that
are the biggest blocks that ever.
Bosnia,
you know,
I think. Bosnia.
Who made that? How did they make it? And why? And how old is the damn thing? So, you know, it's obviously a pyramid. It's as far as I can tell, it's obviously something that was machined and made.
Mm.
Or at least, you know, not machined, but was constructed artificially.
Yeah. So. Well, I guess what I mean by the 2012 comparison is like, this is going to get. I'm looking at it sociologically, in a sense, where it's like this is going this Martian sort of
ancient civilization thing.
Yeah, the Martian ancient civilization thing, and the whole idea of like the Martian this shit on Mars here is teasing of the shit on Mars is just going to be drawn out until we get up there to prove it yes or no. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like. It's like it should have a definitive answer relatively, I wouldn't say soon, but within like the century, let's hope. You know?
Well, within 20 years, NASA just got a bunch. There's another story. NASA just got like more money than they expected to
in the budget, and they're revitalized about manned mission to Mars in the next, what, 20 years or so?
Yeah, they got to build like a – they have to build a like a space station thing or whatever as part – like this is like mandates in the money. That's like they have to go and explore some moon of Venus or some shit, you know? I don't know. That's terrible. That's a terrible recounting of the news, folks, so don't rely on me.
Yeah, what they have to do is they can't launch all at once something that would take – I think, people to Mars, so what they're probably going to do is take bits and pieces of it, launch it, put it together. That's one of the ideas, put it together in space, and then launch it from there because it doesn't take near as much
fuel,
et cetera, to get off the Earth, for one, which is like, what, 75% of the weight of the fuel and all of the equipment just to lift the damn thing off the Earth and get it into space.
Mm.
So once you have it into space, I mean, you can – you probably bring – you don't need near as much fuel to reach escape velocity, you know, near, you know, and to get there and back.
Mm.
I think that's just what they want to do because the idea before was getting somebody there and just letting them die there because they couldn't carry enough there to keep them alive and bring them back. But I think they're trying to get to the point where they can do that.
Yeah, yeah. And to go back to what we always talk about on the show is at the end of the year here, my what's hot and what's not. Again, it seems like it's more of the same, but it's like, not to jump ahead too much, but it definitely seems like space is really hot now. Space is like this really hot thing in the last like 2 years or so, 2-3 years. And I think it's only going to get bigger and bigger. I think next year it's going to get even bigger. So, you know, space is people are getting hip to space all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, the private space industry has made big strides and stuff, too, so...
Yeah, and NASA's, like, getting all these pictures. It seems like they have better pictures than they've ever had before. It wasn't like this when I got into this, like, 10 years ago, you know? It was like the space agency and space and all that was, like, boring and morose or moribund, as they say.
Yes.
So now it's, like, revitalized.
Which is good. And then SpaceX just got that...
that rocket
to land. The reusable first stage to land itself, which had, like, failed, I think, 2 or 3 times publicly.
Yeah.
And
they said that it cuts down on the cost of a flight, like, astronomically, no pun intended. So it's gonna like...
Yeah, because they don't have to throw out that big
rocket.
Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully when they reuse it, it's not all beat up from all the pressure.
I saw a picture of it. It looks pretty good, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I don't know how high up it takes it. It's just the first stage, which gets it through, like, what, 3/4 of the atmosphere or something like that, maybe more.
Yeah, it, like, shoots up, and then the other one blasts off from it. Uh-oh. Red Sun Superman says, uh-oh. You need to be more clear than say, uh-oh. You have to fucking say, are we off the air or something?
I've got a book on the shelf that the title is uh-oh, and I bought it just so I could see that title on the shelf. You're going through all these books, and one of them is called uh-oh. That's the whole title.
Oh, my God. I'm going to just keep talking like we're on the air here in this, you know. I'm not even going to – it's ridiculous. He doesn't know any better, but still. So space is really hot right now, and I think that's going to only get bigger. So Jim Latica says he can hear us. So don't say uh-oh in the chat room after we've gone off the air, folks, because that doesn't tell me anything. That's like someone sends you a text where they're like, I need you to call me right away.
Yeah. Well, why? I don't like that either. I do not like people that are inexact. Because it means you have to waste time thinking about what they're trying to say.
Exactly, especially in text form. He says, "No, we're good. Just gunshots around me, scaring my dog." What?
Where is he? In Syria?
He's in Detroit.
Oh well, then.
It's close. But they're close. Speaking of which, that's a perfect segue, not to Detroit, but to just all this. We got two options here. We can talk about ISIS or we can talk about Donald Trump. What do you in the election? So what?
Two things I don't know a whole hell of a lot about, though, although I have read up on I read that Atlantic article on ISIS, which I thought was pretty good. I can't remember a whole hell of a lot of it, but basically it was, you know, why do they think what they think? And, you know, the upshot of it is because they're fanatics, and fanatics always think like that. And the fanatics were caused by, you know, political oppression in their own countries, oppression by groups in their countries, oppression by and economic oppression by, you know, having some more powerful countries control their politics, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
So it's a combination of a lot of things. But yeah, at the root of it is just basically my huge bugaboo, which is fundamentalist thinking of any kind.
Right, right. Well, it's just a mess.
So you know you're right and everybody else is wrong, and you get to the point where everybody else that's wrong has to be dead.
Well, I think I was thinking about this tonight before or today before the show, kind of like what kind of stuff we were going to talk about, and it's like I feel like, with the exception of sort of the false flag fanatics, who I've just completely given up on because there's so many events now, it's like they say it's worse than ever before.
Yeah.
So it's like the fact that there's events is worse than ever before, and the fact that they just keep saying false flag is worse than ever before, because it's like, I think you talk about the Roswell slide being the sort of the nadir of ufology. I almost think I think that we'll look back and maybe the Sandy Hook thing will be the nadir of the false flag conspiracy thing, because I, at least for me personally, it is, because after that I was like, I can't take this shit seriously anymore. And
yes, exactly. I don't pay too much attention to that, because it's like, if there is some false flag stuff, I think it's going to be really hard to find out what it is. If there was any, I think the granddaddy of it right now is 9/11.
Right, exactly. I don't necessarily write off 9/11, but it's like,
I don't either. I mean, I don't know for sure, but if there's a false flag anywhere, there might be one in the 9/11 stuff, you know, because they've got the debate between the made it happen and let it happen. And,
right,
you know,
right.
Et cetera.
So I feel like, in a sense, what I was thinking about earlier today was the idea that sort of like, I don't know, of course, there's still that segment of people that are like conspiracy false flag folks, but at the same time, I feel like there's so many events and shit that people are almost turned off a little bit by conspiracy, or at least they sort of see the conspiracy as an ISIS conspiracy against America, and the mindset, I guess, of people has changed. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, we have, whether it's government created or not, we have like an enemy, and it's not the government. It's some people that want to keep blowing shit up and shooting people.
Yeah, well, I think that whatever happens, that whoever wants to keep control of the way the economics, the way they are, and the way the stocks are, and the, you know, whatever, these are all used as whatever the crazy ISIS people do. It's obviously used by.
Oh yeah,
I think it will be used in the way it can be used to keep people from asking any questions or wondering why they're, you know, why it's so hard to get an education or pay for a house or whatever.
Right, right. No, exactly. I totally agree with that. I think people confuse conspiracy with the powers that be just taking advantage of shit that happens.
Yeah, well, that kind of is a conspiracy, but I think that's the bigger conspiracy. It's just basically status quo and, you know, boiling the frog, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
Stirring up the heat just a little bit until you suddenly realize that, one day you realize that there's checkpoints every 5 miles on the highway and everybody has the same clothes and shit.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's a spooky time, though. I'll be honest. I think I said this to you off the air back when it happened, but it might have been somebody else, but it's like, I haven't been that Paris thing. It really kind of like shook me in a sense, where it was like, I don't know. It just felt like, all right, things have changed all of a sudden. You know, I don't know. It just felt like things have changed, where it's like the violence is getting worse. This whole idea of like these terror things seem to be getting worse. And you know, I was looking back at that article I sent you. It was crazy. I forgot all about that plane that crashed earlier in the year. That the dude.
Oh, the German wings plane?
Yeah. Did we ever figure out, like, what the story with that dude was that crashed the plane?
They just said he went psycho and his girlfriend left him, and it was just a crazy pilot, which is kind of like, what? Really?
So it wasn't, like, motivated by any
stories about it. I read aviation blogs because I'm interested in it.
Mm.
So, you know, they had MH-30 what is it called? Is that what the Singapore? No, what is it?
Oh, MA, the one that disappeared.
Yeah, that I read up on that and was fairly satisfied that it hadn't landed somewhere, that it probably just crashed into the ocean. But for what reason, nobody really knows. The stuff was definitely turned off. You can't do it unless you deliberately do that. So
it's not a zombie plane then?
No, I don't think it was a zombie plane. At least from a source I trust, who is an international airline pilot that writes a blog. And as far as the German wings thing was, that the best they could figure out is just that he was getting more depressed and more crazy, and that's the thing he did, which is seems a little, what's the word?
Extreme.
It seems, you know what it is? It's like a mass shooting, except for to use a plane.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. No, exactly. It's just, yeah. Okay, well, I was going to say that's good to know, but it's not really good to know. It's good to know that we know that, I guess, because it's like I was concerned that he was part of this overarching wave of bad shit that happened, you know? Like,
no, I don't think so.
Like, if you look at it, it's like they shot up that French newspaper in January last year, and even by the end of the year they were shooting shit up in San Bernardino. It's like you worry about the copycat effect and shit. It's like that's, you know. And the Paris thing was
yeah,
like,
well, it will happen again. What surprised me a long time, remember the D.C. sniper thing?
Yeah.
And how that just paralyzed Washington, D.C. for like 2 or 3 weeks or something? I was wondering, that would be so easy to do. All you'd have to do is get a couple guys start, you know, I don't want it to happen, but all you'd have to do is get a couple people start shooting people randomly, sniping, without knowing where they are or what's going to happen next. That would shut down a city, and I'm completely surprised that didn't happen in the many years since the DC sniper case. I hope it doesn't, but it would seem like a very cheap and effective way for anybody that wanted to screw things up to do it.
Yeah,
without too much planning, without too much material, not too many people.
Well, yeah.
I don't know why that hasn't happened more. So you start to wonder, you know, that's conspiratorial, but you start to wonder why these completely obvious things like people just walking into a place and just mowing people down, which is horrible. But, you know, if what scares people more? I don't know. Something like Paris or San Bernardino, or the fact that they don't want to leave their house for weeks or months at a time.
Hmm.
I hope that doesn't happen, but I wondered why it hasn't.
Yeah, I've thought about that, too, because after 9/11, I thought there was going to be, like, chaos and, well, things like the Paris thing. I thought that was going to happen right away. It didn't happen until, like, 14 years later, which is an insane
yeah.
amount of time, you know? So it's,
yeah,
like,
well,
ISIL
or whatever you want to call it didn't exist then.
Daesh. You're supposed to
yeah.
call them Daesh.
That's right. They don't like it.
Yeah.
Daesh didn't exist then.
Yeah.
But like I said, anybody that wants to do something like that can do it. Particularly an organization that wants to mess with any civilization, any country could do that. I wouldn't think twice about going out if that was happening around here. I probably would, just because I'm like, you know what? Screw you! I'm not going to let this scare me if there's stuff I need to do. But still, you know, it's in the back of everybody's mind now. Even just going to the store, I've started doing things like I go to the mall and it's like, where are the exits? Do those exits lead anywhere? I'm thinking in that way now.
Yeah.
Because you have to. And, you know, the way that people in the Middle East and certain other areas of the world have been thinking for years.
Exactly. It's like, if something happens, who am I going to save? That old lady or that 22-year-old girl? I'm definitely,
yeah.
You know.
Well, or that, or just, you know, a lot of the. Well, the thing is, a lot of the sites I've looked at where they are giving advice on such things, it's like, don't save people, just go. You try to save people, you get more people killed. Just find a way to leave. And if you got somebody with you, drag them with you. That's it. Don't be a hero unless it's really obvious that you can't. I mean, if you're standing right behind the guy and start shooting, you like choke him out. Yeah. Go ahead, but if you're in the line of fire, leave.
Yeah, exactly.
We gotta spread this stuff around. Let's put it on the internet.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?